is a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day.
Amen.
As we come together on this morning, thanking God for Sister LaTanya and Sister Charlotte, continuing to pray for them both, as we all need to continue to pray for one another, but for them coming and confessing sin on this morning. As we look at God's word, knowing that all that we read is true, and that we should continue to do the things that we're supposed to be doing. This morning's subject is removing Satan's seat from your house. Removing Satan's seat from your house. I would like for you to think that if there is no seat for him, he can do nothing but move. We need to not allow him to occupy our minds with things that will not bring honor unto God. You've heard me say that if you allow Satan to ride, he is going to want to drive. And he has no driver's license. So do not allow him to ride. Do not allow him to set. Removing Satan's seat from your house. In the book of John, chapter 6, the verse that was read there, John chapter 6, verse 70 and 71, 70 and 71. Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil." He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. We turn over to John chapter 13. John chapter 13 is where we're going to spend a little time, and also looking at some other verses as well. In John chapter 13, we find that at the feast of the Passover, Jesus is there with the 12, and he is washing or going to wash their feet. And again, the very one that was going to betray him was there. We find that he says in verse 21, though, after saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at the table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus, "Of whom is he speaking?" Now, I want you to look at that, and I want you to look at that very carefully. Peter, the one that is always doing something, one that is always speaking out, when this was said by Jesus, that one of you will betray me, that he motioned to the one that Jesus loved, to the disciple that he loved. You ask him, who is he talking about? You know, we have people like that today. We have children like that that don't want to ask the parent anything or don't want to ask someone else something. They motion to someone else to ask. But as we find here, it says, so that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "What are you going to do?" "Do it quickly." Do it quickly. Now, I want you to look at that. And there's a whole lot that we can get from this lesson here. But one of the things that we need to recognize and understand, that we go back to John chapter 6, Jesus said he's had selected the 12. He chose the 12 to be his disciples, his 12 apostles. He chose these men. But many will say that Judas was never a disciple of Christ. It's not what the word says, is it? The word says that Satan didn't enter into Judas until after Jesus gave him the morsel of bread. That's when Satan entered him. He had already told him what was going to happen, just as we find in many other cases where he tells men things that are going to happen. Doesn't mean that those individuals have committed a sin. But the Bible says that Satan entered into him. And Jesus said, "What you're going to do, do quickly." Now, no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, buy what you need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. He immediately went out, and it was night. Now we find right there in that section that Jesus told that there's one that's going to betray me. Then we find in the next section that when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God would also be glorified in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, let a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." You find that one will betray. Jesus tells the rest that you love one another. And then you find that Jesus tells Peter that he is going to deny him. Simon Peter, now this is the time where he's going to speak up. "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me, but you will follow afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered him, "You will lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times." You're going to follow me? But you're the one that's going to deny me. Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Again, Satan has a seat. He has a seat in the mind of Judas. He has a seat in the mind of Peter. And when there is a seat for Satan in our minds, we need to understand that we need to do something in order to remove that seat. In John chapter 13, we just went through that. But we find in Luke chapter 22, the betrayal of Judas. Again, what did Jesus tell him? He said, "What you're going to do, you do it quickly. Don't hesitate. Don't wait around. Go ahead and do it." Well, Judas, he did what Jesus said. The Bible says in verse 47 of Luke 22, "But when he was speaking, there came a crowd, and a man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, 'Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?'" exactly what Judas had told them that he was going to do. The one that I kiss, this is the one. This is the one. So we need to understand again, the things that Jesus taught, the things that Jesus said, those things were true. They would come to pass, and we find right here the betrayal of Jesus by Judas. And we also find that there are those that are unloving. Jesus said, you know, if you love one another, people would know that you are my disciples. But we have individuals that are unloving. They're not doing the things that God wants them to do. So we need to know once again that love is an action word. It is not a word that we just speak, that just rolls off our tongues, but it is a word that should be filled with action. Something that we need to do in order to show people that we love them. 1 John chapter 2 and the verse is 11. 1 John chapter 2 verse 11. But whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. He's unloving. He's walking around in darkness. Have you ever met that person? Have you ever seen that person just going about, not really realizing or knowing where he or she is going, not caring for anybody or anything? An unloving person. Jesus says once again, if you love one another, people will know that you are my disciples. And then denial in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 through 33. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 through 33. Denial. We need to know and understand the importance of confessing or acknowledging who Jesus Christ is. Not being ashamed of who we are because of what he went through. Verse 32 says in Matthew chapter 10, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also would deny him before my Father who is in heaven. See, Jesus will not ever deny himself. But he will deny you and I if we do not do what we're supposed to do. We have to stand boldly. We have to stand with confidence and let people know who we are and why we're doing what we're doing. Because of the love that we have for Christ. We'll never do anything or shouldn't ever do anything that would show that we're not his children. We should live the way he wants us to live. So Satan's seat. You know, look at that chair for a moment there. I tried to find a plush chair. You know, we make him comfortable. We don't want him to sit on any hard chair. We don't want him to sit on a chair that's going to have legs that's not going to be sturdy. That's if we allow him to sit at all. But when we let him sit, he's sitting comfortably. He's satisfied with all that he has us doing for him. See, we're not his servants. We shouldn't serve him. We're the servants of God. We should serve one another. We should serve the Lord. We should do the things that are right. But we have people that are betraying our Lord. That they're betraying him because of their attitude. The way they worship, the way they talk, the way they dress. We're betraying our Lord. And we should look at those things and we should examine ourselves. And we should say, as Jesus told Satan, get thee hence. Get behind me, Satan. But many times we don't really understand. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 tells us that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not some, but all. And when we betray our Lord, it's because of sin. Because we don't have our minds in the right place. We're allowing Satan to sit there and point the direction in which we should go. You ever seen that cartoon where your conscience is telling you to do one thing on this show, this the devil, and on this show, this an angel, telling you to do wrong from the left and telling you to do the right from the right? See, we need to understand that we need to make up in our minds whether or not we're going to follow after God or we're going to follow after the old devil. See, God want to dwell with us. He just don't want to sit around. He want to dwell with us. He want to be active. But the old devil, he just want to sit there and watch you go down the wrong direction. Watch you go down the wrong road. Will not tell you that the bridge is out. Will tell you like my grandfather said, when the man passed by his house, does such and such live down there? And he said, yes. And someone said, why did you tell him that he lived down there? You know that man don't live down there. He said, I told him what he wanted to hear. See, that's not what we should be about. We should be about the Lord's business. We should be telling people what's going to save them from their sins. We should tell people how to get rid of the ideal of having Satan occupying a space in your home. We should tell people what they need in order to be more Christ-like. In the book of Matthew chapter 6, and the verse is 14. Matthew chapter 6, and the verse is 14. We should understand the importance of forgiving. Instead of continuing to betray people, we should be forgiving people. He says, as he taught his disciples to pray right here, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's important to realize. That just because someone has done something to us, have betrayed us, we should forgive them when they ask for forgiveness. Because that's what we want. We want people to forgive us. Why not forgive the next man? No, we don't want to do that. We're listening to Satan. Don't forgive them. They're not worth it. They're only going to do it again. Who are we to say if they're going to do it again or not? We're commanded to forgive them. So let's do that. Because that's what the Bible says. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So what's on the opposite end of that spectrum? If we don't forgive them their trespasses, our heavenly Father will not forgive us of ours. Matthew chapter 27 and the verse is 4. Matthew chapter 27 and the verse is 4. The betrayer of Judas. You know, it covered a lot. It held, a great place within his mind. When he betrayed our Lord, he realized that he had done something wrong. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 27, verse 3, then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. You realize what you've done. And now what are you going to do? Look what they tell him. What is it to us? See to it yourself. They've gotten what they wanted. They paid him. We paid you 30 pieces of silver. You did what we wanted. Good job, Judas. Good job. But you know, as we think about the sins that we commit, the people that we betray, the betrayer of our Lord, we have to think about what is that man going to do now? We know what they did when Peter preached the message on the day of Pentecost, but Judas didn't make it that far. He's the betrayer of our Lord. He's the, not the start of it, but he's part of it. He's just an instrument here. He betrayed our Lord, betrayed him, and went to those that he betrayed him to. He said, I've sinned. They didn't care. What's it to us? They didn't offer a prayer on his behalf. They didn't say, go to God and ask God to forgive you for that. They said, you take care of it yourself. Handle it the best way you can, Judas. And the Bible says in verse 6, but the chief priest, taking the pieces of silver, said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury. Since this is blood money. So they took counsel and brought with them the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Therefore, the field had been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him of whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them the potter's field as the Lord directed me. Have you ever betrayed someone? And when it was pointed out to you, you felt bad. What did you do? What did you do? The Bible tells us that Judas went out and hung himself. We do not want to do that. We want to get our lives right with God. Amen. Then we find Satan's seed, the unloving, those individuals that do not love God the way that they're supposed to. Remember, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And the commandment that he gave them there in John chapter 13 was that they love one another so that others may know that you are his disciples, that you are one of his. Well, we're commanded to do the same thing today, to love one another so that people may know who we belong to. 1 John chapter 3 and the verse 17. 1 John chapter 3 and the verse 17. We can't get along with one another for some reason or another. Maybe we don't like the way he looked. We don't like the way she looked. We can't get along. We don't like what they've said. We don't like how they sing. We don't like how they act. We find some fault with some people somewhere just because we want to hate them instead of love them. Well, what if Jesus did that? What if Jesus said, you know, no, that person, he's just no good. I'm not going to give my life, Father. Well, he would have been disobedient, right? You see, that wouldn't be right for Jesus to deny what God wanted him to do. Well, we're doing that today by not being loving to one another, being an unloving people, a child of God. We should love one another. 1 John 3, verse 17. 1 John 3, verse 17. But if anyone has this world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? You see someone that's in need, but you don't want to help them? He said, God's love is not in you. It cannot be in you. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. See, we need to say, Satan, I need to help out this man. I need to help that woman. I need to do what I know to be right. My brother is in need. I need to help him. My sister is in need. I need to help her. I have the means to do so, but yet you won't allow me to. No, it's not that Satan is not allowing you to. It's that you just want to follow after him. He doesn't make anyone do anything. It's a choice. And when we choose to do wrong, we have to pay the price. God says, I'm not with you. I don't want to be a part of it. When you have the means to help someone else out and you don't do those things, I don't want any part of it. But you know what Satan is saying? He's set back, crossing his legs, just enjoying it. You know, all he needs is a glass of lemonade and everything will be all right. See, we have to understand that we make Satan. We allow him to get comfortable. And we do the things that we should not do. And we don't do the things that we should do. We find in the book of 1 John chapter 3 and the verse is 10. By this is the evidence that who are the children of God. And who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Nor is the one who does not love his brother. Let's read that one more time. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. You're not a child of God. You are a child of the devil. You don't practice righteousness. You don't do the things that you know to be right. You're a child of the devil. Try using that to someone when you see them doing wrong. Hey, how's your father the devil doing? They look at you like you're crazy. They look at you like you have done something that you shouldn't have never done. I remember telling one of my commanders that he was an evil person. He wasn't doing righteous things, so therefore he was of his father the devil. He was doing evil things. I said, you're evil. He looked at me and he was... Strangely, he didn't say anything, but he went and told someone else. Why did Corporal Spencer call me evil? He should have came to me and I would have explained to him. But he already knew where I stood, why I said what I said, but he just didn't want to ask me about it. See, we need to tell people sometimes who their father is. You're a child of the devil. You're one that does not do what is right. You're one that is not looking in God's word. You're one that does not love people the way you're supposed to love them. You're not doing the things that you're supposed to do. So therefore, you're a child of the devil. The question should be, when you make that statement, what can I do to change? Simple. You change from doing wrong to start doing right, and everything will be okay in the eyes of God. You'll become a child of God. Now, John is talking to Christians here. He's not talking to the world. So we have to understand that there are times in our lives where we are doing exactly what God wants us to do. But when we cease to do those things, we cease to be a child of God and we become a child of the devil. And you know where children of the devil will go if they die in their sins. That place that was prepared for Satan and his angels, not for you and I. So let's not allow Satan to set in our homes. Let's not allow him to be where he is comfortable. Let's make it rough on him. Let's make his job difficult. Let's not make it easy. He's satisfied with what a whole lot of people is doing, but he's worried that this man over here is not going to turn and allow him to sit down. Not going to allow him to occupy any of his time. That's a good thing. Let him worry. Because he cannot change his destiny, but you and I can change ours. If we're going in the right way, we can change and start doing wrong. If we're going in the wrong way, we can change and start doing right. Heaven can be our home come eternity, come that day of judgment. Or hell can be our home. We need to make up our minds what we want. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and the verses 8, denial. Denial. Satan's seat needs to be removed. It needs to be removed. We have some family members that people just don't want to take care of. We as Christians do not want to take on our responsibility to take care of our own family members. And there's a problem with that. And the problem is this, that God is not pleased with how we behave. Let's start actually with verse 5. Honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents. For this is pleasing in the sight of God. How many of our parents have done all that they can to take care of us? Even when we became grown, so we thought, and they were still taking care of us. And then when our parents get to the age where they can't take care of themselves, they need some assistance from us, and we're able to do so. But we're like, I'm not going to do it. You deny what your parents need. You deny them that time that they need to just sit back and relax, and you can take care of them. Make them comfortable and not Satan. Think about it. It said this is pleasing in the sight of God. It says, she who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and contains in supplication and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well so that they may be without reproach. Listen to this next verse. But if any does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. If a man does not take care of his relatives, he's able to do so, but he does not take care of them. Then it says, and those especially of his own household, he has denied the faith. I don't care what God's word says, I'm not going to do it. What an attitude. Oh, yeah, she's my mama now? No, she's your mama. You take care of her. But as long as she's handing out those duckies to you, you're okay. Duckies is bills, money. You're fine with it. But when she quit, as my brother would say, when she quit shucking those duckies, you don't want anything to do with her. When the money runs out, you don't want anything to do with her. There's a problem. Amen. And the problem is we're not being Christ-like. We're not being the children that we're supposed to be doing. We're not the children of God, but we're children of the devil, and we're letting him sit in a comfortable seat while we're having a rough time. Because God is not going to make it easy for you. It's going to be hard. And you're going to wonder, why am I going through these things? You need to go back and think. Maybe it's because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And you need to make a change. Again, the one that does not take care of his relatives and those of his own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. An unbeliever. Is that you? Have you denied Jesus? Have you denied his word? Have you given up on doing the things that are right? Remember again, John 13. Go back and read it. Read it over and let those things sink in. Understand once again that Jesus came to serve. But as he came to serve, he understood that there was somebody, because again, he's God. He understood that there was somebody that would betray him. And not just Judas. We have people that are betraying him today. Don't want to do what's right. Yeah, that's Jesus right there. But no one want to follow him. He is not the prophet that came to save. There's another that's coming after him, or that came after him. That's a lie. Jesus is our Savior. He's the one that went to the cruel cross of Calvary, gave up his life in order for you and I to live. And we need to own up to it. Quit being unleavened. Start loving our brothers the way we're supposed to. Start doing things for them that you can do. And if you can't do it, put them in contact with somebody that can do it. That's love. I can't help you, but I know someone that can. You know, a lot of times people don't want to hear that. Well, if you can't help me, click. And they call somebody else. They can't help them, click. But you know, we do our part. We do what we can do. If you can't do it, you can't do it. But if you can, the Bible says you need to do it. Amen. You need to do it. We need to love our brothers and sisters. We need to treat them right. You can't say that you love God whom you have not seen and hate your brother who you see every day. You cannot do it. God will not abide in you. Quit being unloving. And quit being in denial. Quit being in denial. Peter denied our Lord three times. Three times before the cock crow, twice he denied him. And when he did that, the Bible says he went out and he wept bitterly. He realized that he was wrong. He realized the words that Jesus said, that you would deny me. And Peter, being bold as he is, said, no, not I. I won't deny you. See, many times when we think that we won't fall, we fall and we fall great. But the thing is that we don't have to stay down. We can get up. We can ask God to forgive us. We can own up to who he is. We can be as Paul was in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. See, we have to understand the importance of removing Satan's seat from our house. Don't allow him to stop by and to say, hey, let me just sit here for a little while. No, this seat is occupied already. Do not need you to come and sit down here. Do not need you to come and try to take up space. I need you to keep moving. And I need you to keep moving behind me, not in front of me and not on side of me. See, we need to understand that Satan is real. And we need to know that our relationship should not be with him, but should be with God. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. You are, my friend, a child of the devil. You are separated away from God. And God does not hear a sinner's prayer. When you get in trouble, don't call upon God. As Jesus, as Isaiah was telling the people in the days of Isaiah, they wanted to call upon God. God, I don't want to hear it. Call upon your gods. Those gods that can do nothing for you. Call upon them. Call upon Satan and see what he's going to do for you. He's going to stand back and he's going to laugh. You're not going to hear him laugh. You're not going to see him laugh. But he's laughing. Because he has you right where he wants you. Here you are calling upon me, your God. And I can't do anything for you. I didn't make you follow after me. It was your choice. You chose to follow after me. God is waiting on you. He's waiting on you to become one of His children so that He can answer your prayers. He's waiting on you to become one of Him so He can fulfill your desires. He's waiting on you to come to Him so that when you die, you can die faithfully and at the end be able to be told to enter in, my good and faithful servant. Are you willing to come this morning to make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? To be immersed in a watery grave with baptism? Are you willing to do that? If so, we're willing and waiting to take your confession, to baptize you in a watery grave, so that you may arise and to become one of God's faithful followers, a disciple of Christ, a Christian, one that has nothing to worry about in the end if you live faithfully. But those that don't, you have a problem. Those of us that are children of God, if you have strayed away from the fold, we're asking you to come back. Confess your faults, ask for prayers, and then live a life that God is pleased with. Removing Satan's seed from your house. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation.